Hi, everybody. It is the Way We Nerd for the week of August 29th. Or do we go at the end of the week, which would be September 4th? Doesn't matter.
It's this week.
Hey, it's this week. If you don't know
what the date is or don't understand what the flag means, because the flag represents the entirety of the United
States.
Okay,
we're not bringing politics or sports into this.
Colin Kaepernick. Yeah. I just had to say that, all right? I had to rip on my own quarterback, all right? The flag represents us all. Anyway, across from me wearing a Royals t-shirt is
Joshua Potter.
Next to him in a nice little red print.
It's my red blouse.
You look sexy in that shirt.
It's a really cute top.
Yes. Thanks. And then across from him,
cute top week.
Kyle Bound.
Kyle doing a little bit of research before, actually, as we get this thing started. So, this isn't like a...
I'm all about the facts.
This just like last week, there isn't a huge amount of nerd news. I have some topics here, and I'm sure.
It's the slow end of summer.
It is. That is very, very true. So we're going to be getting to a lot of areas where we're going to be doing a lot of lists. So by the end of this pod, we will all have given you guys our top five of the summer.
This is like the BVS time of summer, where it's slow and boring and nobody really cares. And you're just sort of waiting for like something good to happen in the fall.
Oh, man.
No,
but nothing ever did.
Exactly.
Well, football
sucks too.
Football season's upon us. We're about to play some fantasy football.
Yeah, like in that Nolan Batman movie that was awesome.
Wait, just one?
Well, no, but there was only one that had football and the stadium blew up.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's true. And it was the Gotham City Knights. Anyway.
Niggas.
The Kniggets.
That's a dangerous term. Let's keep moving.
Yep. All right.
That's funny.
So
I found the thing I was looking for. Cool. Okay.
So I'll start. I guess I'll start with some news stories that I thought were kind of interesting. Actually, let's start off with this. Unfortunately, we had the death of an icon, the death of a legend today.
Yeah.
A man that was a part of my childhood almost as much as Alan Rickman was. We were talking about him when we lost him earlier this year. Gene Wilder passed away today from complications of Alzheimer's, which apparently I didn't even know he had, because apparently they were trying to keep him quiet.
You know what? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I shouldn't have jumped on this so quickly.
No.
But Spielberg was going after him hard to be the creator of like the game world in Ready Player One, which is a Willy Wonka-ish character.
Oh, my God.
Which would have been a nice like full circle on his career.
Yeah.
And nobody could really understand why he said no.
Now we know. Now we know, which is horrible. Yeah, and you know what? You're the second person to tell me
that
today.
He also said he didn't want to do
3D. Really?
Yeah, I saw this. Yeah. I saw this interview where he had talked about why he backed away from Hollywood, which was sort of that there was a lot of like all the unnecessariness of movies now, where it's like we say fuck a lot and curse and have gratuitous everything.
Yeah.
But one of the things he's like, I don't want to do 3D.
That's interesting. Well, Josh, you're the second one that mentioned that to me. Someone also told me that today, but I thought he was kidding. But apparently, he was considering coming out of retirement for that movie, but obviously...
I mean, if you're going to do it for something.
Yeah. If you're going to do it for something, that would have been a perfect one to do it for. But Gene Wilder, his collaborations with Mel Brooks and Richard Pryor live on forever, and his own stuff. I mean, obviously, he's Willy Wonka. He will be, I mean, all due respect to Johnny Depp, who I thought was fun.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people didn't like him, but I thought he was fun as Willy Wonka, but he's not Willy Wonka. Gene Wilder is. He brought that character to life like nobody ever could, and he will be sorely missed, even if he hasn't done something in a while. The fact that he's no longer in this world, it makes a little bit of a less funny place.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, he brought such a magic and a high level of professionalism and quality to everything he was in. Even the comedies that he was in, why can't I think of it, with Richard Pryor. Those couple of comedies that he did.
They did Silver Street
Stir Crazy. Yeah, those are the two I was thinking of.
That's Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd.
Right, yeah. No, but there was one that was...
It was Stir Crazy.
What was the one where one was blind and one was deaf?
That's See No Evil, Hear No Evil.
Okay.
I love that movie. When I was a kid.
It's a great movie.
It is.
That's a great idea.
I don't know why I thought that was Trading Places.
No, but that's a fantastic movie.
It was a great movie.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I'm just thinking about funny lines from that movie, and there's so many. And then they did another movie. You, which unfortunately was not that good. But at that time, Pryor was already very, very sick. And Wilder was still recovering from Gilda Radner's death, which he never really got over. Like, even though he found happiness with his next wife, he never really got over the death of Gilda. So
he did not.
But anyway, so Mr. Gene Wilder, dead at 83, and he will be sorely missed. So let's move on to happier news. Although you guys are going to like this because guess what? I'm going to shit on DC right now. I am going to shit all over DC.
Whoa.
So today we got a tease for Deathstroke the Terminator as being a bad guy in the new DC universe. Now, Deathstroke the Terminator is basically Deadshot with swords. So he's already been done.
You mean Deadpool?
No, Deathstroke.
Deathstroke.
Deathstroke the Terminator.
Deathstroke is Deadshot with swords?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Does he throw swords?
No.
I'm just trying to understand the
analogy. But in other words, he's an assassin.
Right. No, you're right. You're right.
He's an assassin, and he uses guns on occasion, but he's more of a swordsman.
For a millisecond, I forgot who fucking Will Smith was.
Yeah.
You need to white people that shit.
So,
the best part of line.
But that's what I'm saying. If you're going to already use a character that's similar, just use Will Smith as Deadshot again. Plus, that makes me sad that the main villain isn't the Joker that I was hoping it would be. Now, this could be still fit into that whole thing where he's caught in Arkham and it's all the baddies. And that's fine because Deathstroke doesn't need to be a main villain. He's always been a side villain in the books.
Uh-huh.
And he's had a couple of miniseries that were dedicated to him. And his daughter's actually more interesting than he is.
Huh.
Her character. But because she becomes a Teen Titan, even though her dad's a bad guy. But the reason I shit on this so much is that you already have a bunch of cool villains that you've already created. Stop. If he would have been part of Justice League and he would have been a smaller part, cool. But Batman could beat Deathstroke in like 4 fucking seconds.
Yeah.
Like, it's just by himself, Deathstroke can't take on the Bat. Deadshot couldn't take on the Bat. The reason it seems like to be doing this because they're trying so hard to stay away from the stuff that's comic booky and stuff you could do in the real world. I think that's DC's problem. They're trying to be too grounded, and I'm very
Yes, with the Enchantress.
Right. Yeah. I don't think
that's the weird thing about.
Well, the one time they tried to go outside of it, obviously, they didn't do very
horrible
well.
At it, yeah.
Enchantress should have been the bad guy in the Justice League Dark movie.
Enchantress should have never been the bad guy.
Well, yeah, just make Deathstroke the bad guy in this
okay,
one.
Okay, or if you're going to use her, give her a good story or a good backstory. Make her a character instead of just a throwaway, this chick got possessed by this witch person, and now she's evil, but she can be controlled, and... It's an interesting plot device for sure, but they didn't spend enough time building up the gravitas that I needed for that to be a good villain. So I agree.
The only thing that the positive I can glean from this, and I just thought about this right now, is now you don't have to spend $180 million. They will, but if Deathstroke's your bad guy, you just need to spend some money on some good stunt guys because you don't need $180 million to tell a story between Batman versus Deathstroke.
No. I assumed when I read that news that he was the main bad guy that they were just mistaken. Because it just doesn't...
Well, nobody confirmed this. The only thing that came out was Affleck showed like a test footage of
Deathstroke. And there's like no denying that. And that was a really weird thing that just put out randomly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a cool thing to see for 15 seconds. We'll see how it plays for 150 minutes. Oh,
there was actual footage.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those teasers that you love so much. It doesn't do anything.
No, it's not a teaser. Yeah.
If it's test footage, look, the best...
Affleck was at Video Village and just took it off the monitor and posted it.
Yeah,
so obviously they're coming for something. So he's out. If he did that, then he's got to be in Justice League then. Right. Because that wouldn't be... Because they're not shooting... They're not even close to shooting Batman as far as I know.
Right. No, they're not. So I think...
Have they cast...
Oh, yeah, there is a rumor. Is
that it's Joe Manganiello.
Manganiello?
Yes. The guy that's been trying to get
horrible with names, Josh. He's been why I didn't realize this until now.
He's been trying to get into superhero movies for a while, so I hope Joe does get it.
Well, I mean, that's not him.
No, that's
so not him. This is just a camera test. Very much.
Like, I didn't watch I didn't watch the full thing.
All he's doing literally is
this is just to see if he looks cool on camera.
Which he does. Which he does, but...
Right, but if this is for Batman, they may not even know what the... They may not even have decided to use him. This may be just a test.
I think he will be in Justice League.
Why would Affleck tweet it out, though?
Look, I think he's
to see what the response is. This is classic, social media marketing. Yes. You tweet it out, you see if people are like, oh man, that looks awesome. Okay, great, we're moving forward. Or, wow, that looks like shit. Yeah. Okay, we need to reconceive.
I think he's in Justice League the same way that Dr. Claw is in... Age of Ultron.
So maybe the movie opens with like Batman fighting him. Like that's
he's in it for a minute.
Yeah.
So you can set him up to have him in the Batman movie, and then the Batman movie, I think maybe instead of Joker being the one that unleashes everyone in Arkham, he is, which lets the Joker go crazy.
Okay, I like that idea. Okay, so I want Josh to write a DC movie.
Yes, Kyle.
At the risk of losing my nerd card, who's the Claw?
Oh.
It's
Black Panther.
That's not good. I didn't know who he was either when the movie first came out.
Don't
worry about it.
Spend a lot of time on it. In Age of Ultron. Yeah.
Remember when they go to Africa and
it's Circus.
It's Andy Circus's character.
Gets his hand chopped off. Eventually, he's gonna get a claw on the
I don't.
He was stealing all the. Help me out. What's the?
What is he stealing? Oh,
the metal.
The what is
vibranium.
That? Vibranium. Yeah. That's what
yeah. And Ultron takes it from him. And then he's like, oh, fuck, I'll probably have to come back for Black Panther. Yeah.
The guy inside, like, the ship?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. He's, like, Black Panther's arch nemesis.
So. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
and this, they were in Wakanda.
This is why these cameos don't always work.
Yeah, right. I mean, even like, even a nerd like Kyle, says, I'm like, that's too deep of a cut.
Yeah.
I didn't know who that is.
They're supposed to work like
I didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
Like, he would have shown up in Black Panther. He would have shown up in Black Panther, and somebody would have had to tell me afterwards that
he
was
in
Ultron. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't have remembered that.
I mean, the way they work, if they're actually cool, is if you're watching it and you're like, oh, that was a cool scene with a kind of interesting character, but if you know that character, you go, oh, shit, that was Claw.
Yeah, right. That's true. Like,
yeah.
Well, because they say his name, you
but
see
that movie
but,
was not,
but it
yeah,
also,
the movie was
I didn't feel, I mean, having not knowing that going in, not knowing that watching the movie, that did not take away from anything.
Right.
Like, no, it wasn't like an Ant-Man where now, for some reason, he has to go attack the Avengers.
Right.
You know.
I love Ant-Man.
In the middle. I love Ant-Man, too.
I
that sequence is not bad, but it sticks out like a sore thumb in that movie. Sorry, I just
completely
sidetracked us.
No, not at all. That actually makes sense because you fit into what Josh was saying. Like, if you bring out a villain like that, but you... I mean, I like the way Suicide Squad did it, and this is going to lean into my next news story. I like the way Suicide Squad did it with the Flash, just because that is one of Flash's bad guys. So, but that was, like you said, that's more for me or for anybody who knows.
No, I enjoyed that, too. That
which is why it didn't work as well for me, because I didn't know. I mean, it was cool
like,
to
why
see
is
the Flash standing there.
Yeah.
But
and
it's a whole
mind
different thing.
It didn't take anything away.
It didn't take anything away, except I don't like his costume. I'll have to see it in action.
Yeah, well,
that's just a random thing.
Grant Gustin, hashtag not my Spider-Man. Or... Flash.
Yeah.
But wait, what?
Yep.
My mouth just went on autopilot there. Well,
very
what happened.
You were
Grant
still
Gustin is my Flash, is what I'm saying.
Yes.
He is my this
too.
Guy, he is not.
But I just also really Ezra Miller as an actor, so that's why I'm excited for him. But yeah, Grant Gustin, I mean, you can't top what he's done so far. So that leads right into the next DC movie to talk about, which is, it'd be really short. The Flash has revealed, the movie Flash, their bad guys are going to be the Rogues. Or that's the rumor. I don't know if that's 100% for sure.
Okay.
Which makes me excited. The Rogues are Captain Boomerang.
Captain Cold.
Captain Cold. The friggin' fire guy.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name. And then three other Flash bad guys.
But
Mirror Master. Or
Mirror? Oh.
Yeah.
Which they haven't done on
the
show yet.
No,
they haven't.
See, and I'm like, but can we just get Wentworth Miller and Dominic Purcell?
Everybody
right?
wants
like,
that. But DC does work on a multiverse like it does in the comic books.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. They might have made a mistake in separating the TV worlds and the movie worlds, especially because the TV worlds are so popular. But as Josh likes to point out with tonal changes, it's too hard to fit the DC TV show tone. Unless they started it from the beginning and established it, which they could have.
My issue is less with them being separate universes and more with like, hey, watch the Flash TV show and then go see the completely unrelated Flash movie. Like, just don't.
It's
going to
be very confusing.
Right away. Like,
it's going to be very confusing.
Just you know,
if the Justice League succeeds like they hope it's going to, and I hope it's going to, then it won't be that much of a problem. But if you have another turd the way you've had with these three movies, even though I liked them, I will admit they're turds.
Sometimes you just gotta love the turd.
Yeah, which I do.
Hashtag
apparently.
Love the turd.
Hashtag shit
sandwich. But if Wonder Woman and Justice League turn out to be two more turds, I don't even think the Flash ever gets made. But it depends on when they start filming it, because apparently they're almost their fat.
I think
close
Flash will get made, but it'll be like it'll be too late to pull the plug. But I don't think like Cyborg will get made.
No, Aquaman and Flash is going to get made.
Yeah.
So when's what's next?
Next is
Wonder Woman.
Then Justice League.
Then
Part One. When is Justice League coming out?
Flash
and why is it already Part One?
November. A year from November.
It's not anymore.
Oh, thank God.
Well, no, it's, well, not it's still part one, of two, but it's a two-parter, though.
Yeah. Not necessarily. They said that, they said that this is going to have a second story.
Oh, you're right,
Oh, okay.
It was part one and part two, yeah. But now it's just Justice League.
Yeah.
And, they're kind of leaving that you're right, that's them already starting to back out a little bit. Let's see what happens before we...
It's Justice League. Hey, look, Superman's alive.
Yeah, exactly. And then,
he got a personality transplant.
I hope. Well, maybe you could. Come on, being reborn, you could.
God, I hope so.
You can hope. Yeah. And you can't, like you said, it's if this does happen, then that, I like this idea better, taking the part one off, because what they can do now is they can scale back, and they can make a Man of Steel too, you know, and make it a better, lighter movie, and be the happier or the more inspirational Superman that this world deserves.
Which is what we should have had before BVS.
Yeah, they should have made a Man of Steel sequel before they made BVS. Unfortunately, they were so excited that they got to use Batman, like Josh said, so he's like, oh, fuck, I'm going to fucking, you know,
blow
this bitch up. But they also should have made a Batman movie.
They should have.
Yes.
They should have. Like I said, we've already discussed that they took the wrong tack because they were like, we have to be different than Marvel, so let's go in a different order, which is the stupidest thing.
Marvel's going
to
make Iron Man and then the Avengers.
That would have been awful, too. I mean, in comparison.
Actually, in this version, it would have been Iron Man, Civil War, then the Avengers.
Right.
But there would have been a Black Widow movie thrown in there, so maybe it wouldn't have been all bad.
Hmm.
All right, we're rehashing old ideas. let's move on, because we've lost Josh. He's checking his fantasy football league already.
Distracted. I'm sorry.
It's all good. So, and there's I only have one more story, and then I'll take it to you guys if you guys have other stories, because we already did June Wilder, we already did The Flash, we already did Affleck.
Affleck.
This is the only thing I wanted to mention that I thought was kind of cool, and this kind of falls in line with what you were saying. This should be a blueprint on how to make a successful comic book movie, because Deadpool was very successful on a very small budget. Apparently, and this makes me love Ryan Reynolds even more, Ryan Reynolds, out of his own pocket, paid for the writers to be on set every day of shooting.
That's pretty cool.
So they could rewrite stuff, because they, Tim Miller and Ryan Reynolds, have been doing this for 6 years.
Right.
And Fox was like, we're not going to pay for the writers to be out there. And it's like, well, that's because we're probably going to put one of their in-house writers out there to fucking fix shit up. And Ryan Reynolds was like, no, I'll pay for them to be on set because I want them there because we did this together and this is what the product we want to put out. And look at the product they did put out.
That's awesome.
So,
yeah.
And the other thing I want to pull from that, by the way, their names are Rhett Reese and Paul Warnick. I want to give those guys credit. Another thing they said, they don't plan on going bigger. The budget shouldn't be that much bigger than the first one. So,
you know why? Great. Dialogue never costs more money.
Yeah, cut the budget.
And they're very good at it.
Take out the third act big fight sequence and have more fast talking.
Yeah, exactly. So, because Deadpool's always been on a smaller scale. I mean, I guess... And that's, like I was saying with the Batman movie, I mean, this is what they need to do. We've been saying this for a while now. You don't need to spend $175 million fucking dollars. I don't understand how Suicide Squad costs $175 million.
I don't understand that
music
either.
Licensing.
Oh, yeah.
Is that in the regular production budget?
I don't know.
No, he's kidding. But
I'm
understand
just saying
why
they spent a lot of money on music.
No, there were so many needle drops in that, though, that it's going to...
I mean, that's a chunk
that's
of it, but it's not $25 million. Dollars.
No.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, because obviously we...
It was a... fairly big cast of fairly famous people. I mean, Will Smith alone cost a couple million, I'm sure.
No, he was definitely the most expensive. But it was, that's the one thing they should have followed Marvel's example. Marvel didn't pay their actors a lot in the beginning. Now they're paying them, but they've already established them as the characters, and now the people love them.
Robert Downey Jr. got back end.
Yeah, they're paying that dude did well.
They're paying Downey, and they're paying everybody else. Like, okay, it's good. Phase one was like, you get $400,000 for the whole thing, and now it's like, okay, Chris Evans, we'll give you $2 million. Yeah. And meanwhile, he walks on set, and Downey gets like 40 for coughing.
Yeah. Although Downey did go to bat for his fellow co-stars and got them more in for Ultron and for the second phase. Because right now, and like I've said before, I mean, we've come to know these actors as those characters, and it's too early, obviously, to recast, and they got to finish.
But, like, I mean, the interesting thing is you look at some of the, like, is Chris Evans a movie star if there's not Captain America?
Not at that time, no.
Yeah.
You're right.
I mean, he's great, and he's talented.
He was.
Yes.
And I'm not saying he wouldn't have been, but, like.
No, we live in an era that's been true for almost 10 years now, at least, where you don't sell movies on star power, you sell them on character power.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, very true. Very true, because.
Or Jeremy Renner.
Aww.
Because they, yeah, exactly. Like, God, 15, 20 years ago, you put Harrison Ford and Tom Cruise's name on a movie, and that's a guaranteed $100 million movie.
Yeah.
But not anymore. And there's no stars that command that. Even the biggest stars. Like, I know Jennifer Lawrence is huge, but take her outside of Hunger Games, and her movies do okay.
Yeah.
Will Smith was the last
big movie
star. Yeah.
Reliable movie star.
And he's even completely lost it. Mm-hmm. So. But anyway, all right, so that's all I had for story-wise, and I figure we should dedicate probably, like, how long do you guys think we need to our top five? You guys have some other news stories to throw in there?
I only have one thing to mention that you will like. These guys will be like, there we go. No, it's a quick thing. This week, the 28th, was Jack Kirby's birthday. Who is no longer with us, but...
I'm so glad you mentioned that.
Yeah.
99 years old, that man would have been.
Wow.
Yeah.
The king!
The king of all comic covers.
So, how long ago did he die?
I don't know.
94,
okay.
I think.
So, Josh, your wow at him would have been 99 years old.
Oh,
it's really funny to me.
Thomas
Edison would have been 215 today.
No. It's just that I didn't realize...
He was that old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, how old is Stanley?
Stanley's 94. 93.
Shit.
Okay, that's
something like that. Yeah, I guess he was 76.
That's
right.
It was more
by
relating the two.
76.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, I'm the asshole.
Here's a fun little tidbit about Jack Kirby, though. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, but there's a terrible Captain America movie that came out in the 90s.
Oh yeah. The motorcycle.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Apparently, Jack Kirby went to that premiere and he got a little teary eyed, and it wasn't. And he thought that he said the movie was good, but of course he was an old man at the time, and he was probably just like, "Oh, cool, Captain America."
Look at the
lights. His son said he was just so happy to see his creation on the big screen.
Oh,
it
God.
Made him tear up and cry. Jack Kirby, that's great. He deserves the name the King, and I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about the man. I mean, his drawings are iconic, and he's just as important to comic books as Stan Lee.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
If not more so.
I mean, you look at any monster type character from that age, and it's going to be a Jack Kirby creation for the most part. I mean, he just had that kind of influence and kind of talent.
All the classic looks you guys know of for all these characters
come
from him. I'm glad you mentioned him, Potter, because on any show that talks about comic books in any form, should mention the King.
Absolutely.
All right, Kyle, you got some stories? I see some scribbling on your notepad.
Oh, no, these are my top five movies. Oh. I have no stories.
What about you?
I've just got my five.
Except that they may have found an alien signal.
Yeah, I heard about
that. Light years away.
But I also heard, don't get excited.
We also don't know.
Because it might be our shit bouncing back at us or something. They said something like that.
Probably not. But they can figure out fairly easily.
Oh, that's the article I read. But I like that idea. Please, tell me that's true.
Yeah. Who knows? It'll be years before we know. But,
yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
Life 4.5.
And I still
want
to do that ghost sit in with you guys if we can figure out how to get into that building on the other side of the lot.
Let's do it.
I'm down to do it. But anyway, so then I guess we're running out of news stories so we can get to our top five of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to start?
I feel like you saw the most. So
I did.
You
see
should
a lot.
Either start or finish.
Let me tell you this. I will say this though. And you guys decide if where I go when I tell you this. You guys will be very surprised about my top five.
Okay.
Well, then go for it.
Yeah.
I'm
going to start.
Because mine are not surprising at all.
Okay. The reason I say that is in my top five, there's absolutely no movie that made over $50 million.
Wow.
Except for maybe one. I don't know what the final tally was for this one, but we'll get to it.
Okay.
However, if we would have done top 10, four out of my bottom five are huge movies.
Right.
But top five, here we go. AR in ascending order, starting from number five.
Okay.
Kubo is number five. Kubo and the Two Strings was absolutely wonderful. It's epic storytelling on the grandest scale. I think I mentioned this last week, and it makes you believe in the magic of movies again. It's so wonderful. Everyone should see it. And the animation is puppeteer animation, which is so painstaking, and they even show a little bit of it. If you guys got to stay through the credits, because they show a little bit of the making of one of the most impressive sequences in the movie, and I don't want to give anything away. So please go see that movie, fellas. You guys, all three of you will love it. And it's definitely something you should see on the big screen because it pops. My fourth is Don't Think Twice, which I talked about last week. Written and directed by Mike Birbiglia, one of my favorite comedians. Mm-hmm. And Jillian Jacobs of Community fame deserves some awards recognition because she was so good. It just I've talked to a few people who worked in improv, and it's such true to life because the whole thing is you know, you're rooting for your friends to succeed, but you also resent their success because it comes at your expense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's in the comedian, in the comedian world, like, because improv is like, you know, you have acting and you have stand-up comedians. Improv groups are like right in the middle because they're a little bit of both. So it's a wonderful movie that not enough people are seeing, and you guys should definitely go see it. Third one, I know you guys are agreeing on the movie, but this one, Pop Star. Never Stop Stopping.
Yes.
That is one of the funniest movies I have seen in many a year, and it's easily the funniest movie this year, with the exception of maybe my number one movie of the year, but we'll get to that when we get to our final mm-hmm. movies at the end of the year. But it's nonstop laughs. I remember my favorite moment in that movie wasn't even from the movie. There was probably, what, 8 of us in the theater? There was the 3 of us that were there. I don't think all 4 of us made this. Potter, you didn't go.
No, I didn't go.
So, Moorhead, Kyle, and I, and then, like, 4 other people.
Yeah.
And I think Moorhead or Kyle, one of them said, rewind it! And yeah. And the entire theater, all 7 of us were like, yeah, rewind it! Like, we all wanted to watch it again. It was so fucking funny. And I have to see it again because I laughed so much, I guarantee you I missed
right.
stuff.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So, but anyway, that's my number 3. My number 2... is the, I'm bad with this name, the guy who's directing the new Thor, and he directed What's in the Shadows.
Tiki Wakali.
Damn, he got it wrong. I thought he was going to get it right.
Tiki Torch.
Tiki Torch. All right. The Hunt for the Wilder People. I wish I could remember the kid's name because I think that kid's a star. Of course,
I have no idea what his name is.
You were close as far as the T and the W.
Tiki
His initials are right. You got it.
Tiki Walkabout.
Tiki Walkabout.
But there's another movie that I think is not going to get Oscar recognition, but it should because Sam Neill, it's his best performance in a very, very long time. Not saying that Sam Neill's performances since then have been bad, but this one is sets apart above the rest. He was so fucking good in it. So good in it, I didn't even realize it was him until 30 minutes into the damn movie. Yeah. I was like, holy shit, that's Sam Neill.
Yeah.
And my number one, and this is the one I don't know how much money it made, was The Nice Guys.
Oh.
Nice.
So
very nice.
Those are my top 5. Yeah. And like I said, no big tent poles in there, but if you look in the bottom half, it's Deadpool, BVS, Captain America 3, Star Trek Beyond. So they're in there at one point. But anyway, yeah, so those are my top 5.
It's okay. A good list.
Okay.
Thank you. I was very excited of it.
Nice. I'm not going next. I'm not going next.
Mr. Moorhead.
At 5, Pop Star, because of all the reasons.
Hell yeah,
mentioned.
Pop Star.
You
are going to be happy about it. I just remembered a line from it.
Wait, did you say are or aren't?
Are.
4, Finding Dory. It's Pixar.
Finding Dory.
You know, it's Finding Dory. Finding Nemo, I think, is my favorite Pixar, and it's like, it gets close. So... 3, Nice Guys. Just so fucking good.
I know.
Just so fucking good.
I wish that
it's
movie
just
made
happy
just,
juice.
I wish the movie made so much more money because I would love to spend more time with those characters.
Right.
But
right.
Whatever.
2, Civil War, because I'm...
God damn you, Josh.
What? I'm a spectacle
You just stole
sucker.
My list.
Oh, I'm sorry. and I mean, like, I can, the truth
really,
about
exact,
that...
Almost, like, in the same order, too?
Well, no, I have no idea what my order is. I'm going to make that up as I go. But
that's basically what I did. Like, since we saw Civil War,
yeah,
and especially now that it's been a few months, like, I keep checking on Amazon, like, when does the Blu-ray come out? Because I can't wait to watch it again.
Very right. soon.
Yeah. And maybe, meanwhile, Popstar is already out.
Yeah, and maybe, like, under reevaluation.
Digital.
Oh, damn.
But, like, I just can't wait. Like, that airport sequence is just an all-timer. And the rest of the movie works, too. Like, that movie has no right to work as well as it does. Yeah. And it does.
It should have fallen under its own weight, but it
doesn't. Oddly enough, in 3 months' time, it has aged well. Because when it's the first movie of the summer, you go, that was good. Let's see what happens. Yeah. And then when the rest of the summer goes, all over itself, you go, oh, that was, like, really good.
All right, okay, depending on what your number one was, we definitely have a question for you, but go for it. What's your number one?
Ghostbusters.
God damn you, Josh! I don't have a question anymore.
Yeah, because when I really thought about it, I was like, when I thought about how I felt after seeing it twice, like, that's just, to me, what a summer movie should aspire to be, even though I looked it up today. It's ridiculous. It's made less than, like, Identity Thief and Spy did.
That's kind of, yeah.
When you see that movie coming, you're like, there's no way it doesn't make at least blah, blah, blah. Like, if Melissa McCarthy can do X on her own, there's no reason why with Ghostbusters. But it just, I don't exactly why it didn't connect, and I'm not going to go out and say that it was misogyny or sexism. I'll say it. I'm sure that was part of it, but I will grant that there's something about the movie in and of itself that even though it connected with me as well as it connected with me, it didn't connect with other people.
Well, I don't think that's another one. I don't think that movie needed to be $144 million. Like,
no, it definitely.
I understand where they used the money, but I think they could have scaled back on that big fight at the end, which was cool.
No, it was cool. Yeah,
what was working about that movie wasn't building up to that scene.
Oh, go on.
A specific part of that scene that I'll fight back with you on, and not that you'll disagree with it. This. I know. But the Kate McKinnon
part, where
she just goes fucking bonkers and is just knocking out ghosts left and right.
That's just...
is, like,
whew.
Not ignoring how much it costs and all that shit, and, like,
and just I don't think how much fun it was. Cost that much.
Like, there was something about that a lot of women I know
that's
watching that, it hit them in a way that I think nobody was really expecting.
Like, oh, yeah.
This woman who's not being sexualized at all is just fucking badass kicking ass.
Don't know if that's ever... Yeah. Literally do not know if that's ever happened in cinema before.
Exactly.
Because even in a movie where... even a movie like Salt, where it's like Angelina Jolie knows how to break necks. Yeah. She's still, like, breaking necks in a skirt and, like, when she's done, like, she's like...
skin tight.
Sorry.
There's no tight clothing. There's no cleavage. Yeah. There's no moaning. There's no, like, legs. It's just fucking badass.
I'll tell you this. If somebody here would have given me recast a reboot and gave me Big Trouble in Little China, that's who I would cast as Jack Burton.
I would roll
switch it, and Kate McKinnon would knock that role out of the fucking part.
I would absolutely watch that.
There's a movie coming out with her and Demi Moore and a bunch of, like, really good comedy people, and it's supposed to be, like, for lack of a better term, the lady version of The Hangover, where it's like a bachelorette party, and they accidentally kill, like, a hooker.
A
female hooker?
I cannot wait to see that movie.
Yeah.
But I also did...
This sounds awesome.
I did my worst, which was ID42, X-Men Apocalypse.
Oh, yeah. And I'm going to
put Sausage Party in there, too, because Sausage Party actually had expectations for. And I'm surprised I didn't see Central Intelligence, Angry Birds...
You didn't see Central Intelligence?
No. Kubo, I haven't seen yet.
No, I didn't see it.
Secret Life of Pets. Did I see that? There's some things that I missed.
That was disappointing.
What? Central Intelligence?
Yeah. No, I didn't see
it. What the hell did I see that with? I thought I saw it with you guys.
Nope.
No, it doesn't matter.
But anyway, I mean, pretty shitty summer overall, but there's some diamonds in the rough.
Yeah, but there's also some good ones there that you didn't see that you should have seen.
Right.
Yeah.
And I really want to. I think I'm going to go see either Kubo or Don't Think Twice tomorrow.
I guess if we're going to do worst of the summer, too, I have ID4 in there. I have Now You See Me 2 in there. I have Warcraft in there. Even though I kind of enjoyed Warcraft and ID4, I know they're terrible. But Alice 2, by far, is the fucking worst movie of the summer.
Which was?
Alice 2.
Oh.
But I think right now that's the worst movie I have of the year. So. Yeah. I don't know why that movie made me so angry, because I don't really like the first one. But
but it made $1 billion.
That's probably why. I'm like, no, that's probably not why. It doesn't matter. Yeah. But anyway, so, well, good list, Kyle and Josh. Well, hey, Kyle, do you at least have a different
order?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I see something else on here that he didn't mention.
Well, yeah, those are my, like...
alternatives.
I went through the list of the summer and wrote down all the movies I saw that I liked.
Wow.
And these are the 7.
All right, well, then why don't you just give us the two alternates then, since you didn't... Josh, pick
all
your 5.
Okay, well, I mean, so my list in order 5 to 1 would be Civil War, Dory, Popstar, Ghostbusters, Nice Guys.
That's one, and that's in descending order.
That's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh, that's up, okay.
Yeah. So Nice Guys.
What was number 1? Nice Guys.
Number 1 was Nice Guys, yes. I loved Nice Guys. It was exactly what I wanted it to be.
Yeah, so that movie was awesome.
And... My two sort of runners up were Star Trek Beyond, which I thought was just really solid. I really liked it. It was like an old school Star Trek movie, except it was like a good old school Star Trek
movie. It was very entertaining. It was very entertaining.
And then Money Monster. I really liked
that's one I was surprised I missed.
Yeah, I was surprised I missed that one too.
I liked it. It wasn't amazing, but it was good. It was the kind of movie that, like, you can make for $30, $40 million.
Mm-hmm.
That just nobody makes anymore.
Yeah.
It's like the small stakes, you know, sort of thriller.
Right.
And then story piece. And that feeds into what Josh was saying earlier about the movie stars. Tension. Because 10 years ago, you make a movie with George Clooney and Julia Roberts
that movie.
Oh yeah, makes movie came out in 1994. It's like one of the top movies of the summer.
Even 2004.
Right. Yeah, I went too far back.
We went way far back. Yeah. But even 2004, like when Clooney and Clooney was at the top of his game at that time as far as fame wise, and and Julia Roberts, I don't think she's fallen super far, but she's definitely not even close to what she was as far as popularity wise. Like, it's kind of crazy. Like,
actually, best two movies I saw this year were at the cemetery screenings. It was The Muppet Movie and Speed.
Speed. You know what I love about The Muppet Movie? There's that one silly scene.
All of them?
I know, but it always sticks out to me when Kermit's like, we go left at the fork in the road, and then there's a fork in the road.
Yeah, that's a great bit. That's a great, great bit.
I don't believe it. Kermit. Oh, I love Kermit so much. But anyway, Mr. Potter, what's your five?
All right.
Well, since you only saw three movies.
Shut up, guys. It's not the same as last year.
My top five movies are the two I saw, and then half of that one I saw 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's awesome. No, okay, so owing for the fact that I haven't seen Kubo yet, I haven't seen Hunt for the Wilder People, which I'm sure I'll enjoy, or Don't Think Twice.
Yeah,
those, all three of those would probably make it in somewhere. But number five was Star Trek Beyond, because, again, it was fun. It was enjoyable. It was just what I wanted in an older Star Trek character piece kind of thing. Four was Civil War. Again, solid, fun, you know, lots of fighting. Nice Guys was my number three.
Yeah.
How could I not put that in the top five? It was just a fun movie.
Where was it in your list, Josh? What number?
Three.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Pete's Dragon was number two because that one was so, just for me, it was really heartwarming. The digital creation of Pete was amazing, and the interactions, or Elliot, sorry.
Elliot.
That CG kid was amazing. I never
he's so good. That kid. And all of his CG clothes. No, but
yes, we don't need actors anymore.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that kid is talented because he had to act presumably for the first time on a big scale like that with a digital character with a digital Elliot.
And that's not a normal kid performance either. That's
The kid was fantastic. Yeah. He really was.
Yeah.
Although, to be fair, at least I don't know about you guys, but when I was a child, I'm pretty sure I would have been really good at acting. There was an imaginary dragon there. Like, that was, I'm not trying to take anything away from the kids.
No. But
I meant less the emotional beats. More the emotional and being kind of guarded and
the emotional beats, like being able to.
He was really good. And then my number one was Ghostbusters, of course, because that for me was just a fun movie. That was exactly what any summer movie wants to be for me. So
yeah, you guys had it so also high.
Wait, yeah, did you have any right.
You were a little disappointed in Ghostbusters.
Yeah, a little disappointed in the sense that I didn't think the story was that original. But that's and like I said, I don't know if that comes to the fact that they were following the same story beats as the original, or because I've seen so many goddamn movies, I think like a writer now, I just see everything coming. Like, it's very rare now for a movie to surprise me. I think of the twist before they happen. If you can surprise me with a twist, fucking bravo.
Even like in really Civil War... Now. You knew before they said anything like, oh, fucking Winter Soldier killed your parents.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I knew who that was in the beginning of the movie, but that doesn't lessen my enjoyment. Just like it didn't lessen my enjoyment too much with Ghostbusters. The only reason I thought was just because they made such a big deal about separating it from the original movie, but then they did kind of the same things, and they did too many callbacks to the original.
I would agree with you
that it's
there
just
were,
like, dude, just completely separate yourself. But I loved the performances.
Oh,
I love Kate McKinnon to death. Leslie Jones was fantastic because she was playing a part that was very a big stereotype, yet it was still enjoyable, and it didn't feel racist. You know, it felt like that was her.
Right.
I hate all the fucking hate she's getting on the internet. Yeah. Oh my god.
Oh no.
I really hope the FBI
awful.
Find these people.
Yeah.
I really hope they do.
Because
what they did was illegal. The nude pictures.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's illegal now. Like, what you did is illegal, so they'll find you. I was just underwhelmed by Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Wiig. Not that I didn't need them to be crazy that like they're normal characters, but I'm getting kind of sick of Melissa McCarthy yelling all the time and you know, she just didn't maybe I just don't like her as much as...
As a comedic actor, you have, like... You're like a hit song or, like, a genre that's, like, hot for 5 years, like ska, and then goes away. And if you don't change your sound, you gotta, like... to stay relevant. Like, Will Ferrell's done that pretty well. Like, he was the screaming guy through, like, the aughts, and now he's like, I'm the straight man, or I'm, like, the weird one, or, like...
And I've seen a couple of his dramatic performances, so I need to see more Melissa McCarthy's. Like, he did this movie called Everything Must Go.
Did
you guys see that
movie? Yeah,
A really small movie about a guy who's selling all his stuff after a divorce, and he's literally living on his lawn. But that he was so wonderful in that, and it just showed me another side of Will Ferrell, and I've always loved Will Ferrell, so... And Melissa McCarthy, like, that's the thing, is I want to really like her. Like, I like her, but I want to really like her. For some reason, there's something about her that just sometimes in the middle of a movie, it kind of turns me off. But I also have to say I love Chris Hemsworth. Like, making him the dumb blonde was a fantastic idea.
Oh, it's hilarious, because it's casting against type.
Chris Hemsworth stretch his comedic muscles.
Well, that's...
I mean, since he has literal muscles...
Or like, playing against type, I guess.
Yeah, it's just fun to see that, because you could tell he was having a ball.
Speaking of him and Tiki Noho, did you see...
please get his name right.
I'm going to look it up right now.
I don't think he even could now if he tried.
Nope. Did you... Did you guys see the Comic-Con video they finally released?
I haven't watched it yet.
I haven't saved on my videos to watch. I should have watched it today.
I watched half of it before, like... the video crashed for some reason.
Yeah.
But fucking funny. Like, that makes me so excited for Thor 3.
Yeah, I think Thor 3 is going to be a lot of fun, especially after the direness of the second one, which I like Thor Dark World. I know a lot of people
don't. I
do
too. No, I enjoyed
its moments. It's just not as...
It felt the most like a Thor comic book, but at the same time, it was a little heavy, and it just didn't... It didn't fit the...
It's just like the least... Out of all the Marvel movies, unless you're counting Incredible Hulk, it's just, like, the most disposable, probably.
You think that... Oh, disposable, okay. Because I was about to say, because I know you're not a huge fan of Captain America the First Avenger. Which one would you choose between those? If someone say, hey, you have to watch one of these movies right now, or I'm...
Probably Dark World. Okay. Because every time I'm like, no, you're being too hard on Captain America, and you love that character a lot, and you love his performance... I try and watch the movie again, and for an hour, I'm like, no, this is great. And then every time the last hour, I'm like, ugh.
You know, so, I told you that before. Like, I was going through all the Marvel movies to warm up for Civil War, and then I got to Captain America First Avenger, and Josh's voice was in my head, and I used to love that movie.
I'm sorry.
It's still sitting there on the side waiting for me to watch.
The first hour of that movie is like... eating pizza, and then the second hour is like it being digested into shit.
No. It's Chipotle.
Ouch.
By the way, the director's name, and I'm probably going to pronounce it wrong, is Taiki Waititi.
Yeah.
Tiki Masala.
Yes. Some slay. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Idris Elba's coming back as Hemadol. I didn't know that. Sweet. Anyway, sorry.
That movie's going to be great.
Yeah, Thor. And I mean, and you've seen how it looks like Thor and, I mean, Tom Hiddleston and Chris Hemsworth, they're having a ball. And they just visited kids in the hospital.
Yeah.
And it was so...
You didn't get classy. Fun pictures like that off of the Dark World set.
No.
So
no.
I feel like they're all really having a good time, which
and
is
it was,
good.
Dark World was the Alan
Taylor.
Yeah, and he's a...
Yeah.
Where they just jump from alternate universe to alternate universe to alternate universe.
No, they're just different worlds.
Because...
There's the nine worlds.
Right. That's those are
the realms.
Alternate dimensions. They're different dimensions.
Yeah. Well, no, and because they've established these characters as aliens instead of gods, so I think that's why. It's, so I think it's supposed to be planets.
You're saying like these other realms are other dimensions.
No. They're
is the way you would describe.
It's like. It's like a wormhole that takes you across space quicker. Different dimensions is what we're getting into with Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
God, I'm so sick of this.
I'm so excited for that, though.
Doctor Strange is going to be fan-fucking-tastic.
Yes.
I can't.
But will you like it more than Ant-Man?
I think I've talked about this on the pod before. Ant-Man just falls in that weird spot for me where I like flawed... interesting things. I don't know.
I love
Ant-Man too. No, I'm just saying, will you love it more because I know how much you loved Ant-Man.
Yeah.
But
I was texting
with
a friend of mine the other night and she was like, God, Paul Rudd is such a babe. I was like, yeah, don't you just like want to like have him use his Ant-Man powers for sex stuff? And she was like, no, why would I want that? And I was like, yeah, never mind, I'm stupid. She's like, why did you think of that? I'm like, no reason, okay, bye.
What blows my mind is the fact that Paul Rudd is nearly 50 and the dude still looks like he's 30. Like, he still looks like the character from Friends, like exactly the same dude.
Yeah.
Like, he's aging really, really well.
What's funny is you can sit down and watch Wet Hot American Summer.
I still haven't seen it.
And so the TV show. Yeah. And his age doesn't change.
Right. Nope.
Everybody else is like so different. He's like, yep.
I still haven't seen the movie or the show.
You gotta watch it.
I think to me the show is better than the movie.
Probably because the actors are now more seasoned and they're better at what they do. Because weren't they all? They were all nobodies at the time.
And I think it actually works better as an episodic thing than a movie.
Yeah. I would agree. Yeah,
but anyway,
it's fun.
I got to get into that. I also want to. I don't know. We're winding down here, but have any of you guys watched The Get Down yet?
No,
not yet.
Too much homework. Yeah, I finished
so much
the night of, finished this weekend on like a meh, and now I'm like looking for the next thing. Maybe
it's already done.
I'm still four episodes behind on that.
I need to start watching it. It's on my list.
I'm still watching Fringe because Fringe
just
goes out.
He just got baby oil.
Elena's watching Fringe right now. I got her to start watching it. She is. She's
ending on September 11th. I'm kind of sad.
I think she's in season four.
What do you mean?
Oh,
I mean it's going off Netflix.
So she's in the bad place right now.
She's in the bad place. Yeah. She's like, it took...
Wait, do you agree with Kyle, though? Do you think after the third season, it just goes to crap?
I wouldn't say it completely goes to crap.
I think the fourth season is crap.
Yes.
Did you finish it, though? Did you do the fifth season?
Of course.
Okay.
The problem is, and she noticed this, too, and without me saying anything, she was like, so wait, why do you not like
Dan
some of the later
Dan
seasons?
Knows.
I won't ruin anything. No.
So, like, eight of the third season.
I didn't discuss anything. I was just like, well, the first two seasons are great. I love the first two seasons a lot. Especially, wait, what season are you on? Sorry.
Middle of three.
Okay,
three.
So you've seen
the episode I'm on right now, Fake Olivia, or Alternative
Olivia.
Whatever they call her.
Yeah.
It's Walternate.
Walternate. I like that, but they actually say that, right?
Walternate.
They actually say Walternate.
Yeah.
Do they say Full Olivia, too?
I don't think
I like how they call him Walternate, and I love hearing Walter say Walternate. It just sounds hilarious. I love John Noble so much. And it has Leonard Nimoy.
He's so good. He's so good.
Leonard Nimoy. I love you so
okay,
much.
So,
you know about over there.
You know, yeah.
I know about over there. Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. So she was cool with all that. But then she was like, yeah, but then I got to the end of season three,
mm-hmm.
and it took this weird turn.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I like it. I was like, there you go. So now you know.
It was a bad decision.
It's, yeah.
I can't wait to get it.
I understand it.
Yes.
I'll tell you this.
From a, like, creative perspective, I appreciate what they were doing.
No, I agree.
And the fact that they were able to do it, that anybody let them do it, is remarkable.
Yeah.
But it just didn't. It just didn't work.
It didn't hit me.
It was not compelling.
And it wasn't, I don't feel like it fit with the tone of the show. Yeah, keep watching.
All right.
Well, finish Friends.
That's cool. And by next week, we'll have that finished, and we'll bore Josh Moritz and more with some Fringe talk.
I never got that far, so I can't.
Oh, you actually watched it too, though.
See, I watched a while of it, and it didn't hook me like I wanted it to.
Me too.
Kind of like your Melissa McCarthy opinion. Like, I was like, I want to love you, please. Just let me love you.
It takes half a season
then,
to get good.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing is,
and that was pre-DVR days. Like, I was watching it live, and then I was like, fuck, peace.
Well, you're right, because it took me forever to come back to the show, because after I watched the first half season, I just got bored, and I was like, I don't really want to watch this right now.
Well,
and I took a long break, and then I got back into it, and once they started going over there, or at least started to establish that, and then Nimoy came in, obviously he's going to hook me.
Oh, yeah.
Even though he's only in, like, four episodes,
it's
about
halfway through the first season, it becomes less monster/weird science thing of the week.
It's
and
more,
they get into their own story arc.
Here's the question, because this is the way I looked at it. Yes, there's kind of the monster stuff, but I look at this as, what X-Files episodes do you prefer? Do you like the monster episodes or the more science episodes? Or, I guess, more conspiracy theory episodes? Because
this is
how I watch Fringe.
Mm-hmm. I guess, in my opinion, I think X-Files did it better because I liked both. Like, I would probably go through X-Files and just watch the mythology episodes because, I mean, there's 212 episodes of the damn show.
Seasons.
So much show. And I'd have to skip some of the Monsters of the Week. But the first three or four seasons, the Monsters of the Week, there's something like the Tombs episode. Although, did he factor in more into the overall story? No, right?
No.
Like,
he
that's
just,
one of my favorite
he
hours.
Had two
on,
episodes.
Those two episodes are two of my favorite hours on television ever.
Yeah, he's creepy.
So,
Elena couldn't watch those.
It fits that Doug Hutchinson became a creepy old man who married a 17-year-old girl because that fucker's creepy.
Yeah.
All due respect to the man, but damn, he's creepy.
Well, okay, so this is my thing then.
Such an asshole in Green Mile, too.
Because if Josh, if you're the same way as far as X-Files goes and you like more of the monstery things, then you may not like Fringe as much because I see Fringe as more of the heavier science side of the X-Files.
Mm-hmm.
So you take out the monster stuff and it's more of the science-based.
How real is their science, though? Because it sounds fucking wacky as fuck.
they
it's
treat
real
a
as
lot
far as
of,
like conjecture science.
Well, and it's not even that. Yes. They treat
Are
a
they
lot
based
of
on
like
some kind of theories, at least.
Yeah,
some
but mostly
is.
Bullshit. Okay. Like, there's a lot of, like, paranormal stuff that they try to make sound science-y. That doesn't really... I mean, in the same way that X-Files did it.
Yeah.
You know? But it's sort of a more jargony X-Files.
Well, I'll say this. Mm-hmm. Okay, and maybe there isn't anything out there, but bringing it back into modern times, our current day, is there anything like Fringe or X-Files out there right now?
Stranger Things. Stranger Things is everything.
Stranger Things is amazing. Stranger Things is...
It is everything.
But I think Stranger Things...
off everything.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. I do, too. But
I
Stranger
can't even
Things...
get upset that it, like, just stole everything from everywhere.
Is it a steal or a homage?
It's some of it's just a straight-up steal, and I don't even care. Like, that's the thing. It's so good, I don't care.
Yeah,
like, I was talking to a coworker today who went into it, was like, I'm going to watch
Justice
it this weekend.
For Barb.
Because I feel like I have to, so I'll finally get what everybody's talking about. But I'm not going to like it, because I'm not a fan of those movies. And then she comes in today, she's like, I watched it. And I fought it the whole time, but by the end, I just, like, everybody's watched it, right?
She's like,
you know Eleven's alive, but maybe she's not. And I just, I'm like, I told you. She's like, it's those kids.
It well, did for is, what yeah. everybody watched, what mm-hmm. Tarantino did for everything that everybody didn't watch. Like, he ripped off of everything that you didn't know about.
Yeah.
And Stranger Things did that, like, did an impressionistic version of, like, the thing you're familiar with.
But the, and Kyle's right, the way they made us care was they cast these amazing kids that just we wanted to hang with. Because a lot of those kids were either us or someone we knew. Mm-hmm. Like, they just did a really good job of capturing what it was like being a kid in the 80s and the 90s, growing up, you know, watching and loving all this nerdy stuff.
Walking through woods, getting lost in dimensions.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Riding bikes.
It's not, like an everyday thing.
I can't imagine it's as fun to be
a
kid nowadays because it's so fucking scary to be a kid now. I mean, not that it wasn't scary then, but it's really scary now.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, I was just listening to this Chris Rock's stand-up, and his joke is still... It's 20 years ago. I can't believe this comedy special is 20 years ago, but it was that one he did about the OJ stuff. But he talks about how kids today, it's so scary. It's like, okay, you can go from that corner to that corner. Okay, you can go from that fence to that fence. Okay, you can, pretty soon the kid's just hopping around in a fucking circle. Like, it's like, you can't let your kids go out and play anymore. It's kind of, it's
a different world, man.
And on that sad note.
Well, here, have we talked about this yet? Or
we got 8 more minutes.
Quick little thing.
Wait, sorry, one more thing about Fringe.
Oh, yes.
Then you get to the end of Fringe. And it makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah,
like, I can't wait for you to finish this so I can just bitch about the end of Fringe and how it makes no sense.
Well, by the time football season starts, because September 11th is is the start of football season, I will have watched all
it's
of
my own personal 9/11.
No, don't worry. It's not too soon. It's been long enough. We can joke about 9/11. Norm MacDonald was joking about it right after.
He was.
Gotta love Norm.
That's for sure.
He was also joking about Steve Irwin right after.
Yeah, he was. Dude,
yeah.
that dude's
that
awesome.
Was amazing.
I love Norm MacDonald. Yeah.
All right, so September's coming. What is the movie you're looking forward to most in September?
Ooh, September.
What's coming out in September?
Jeez, yeah, I don't know.
We have. Oh, this is.
There he was ready.
Okay, good.
My short list. This
so.
Is my short list of,
oh, no.
of things that I'm interested in,
maybe.
Ooh, I want to see that so bad.
We have The Magnificent Seven, which is my most looked forward
to
movie.
That.
Okay.
Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiars.
I do want to see that.
Good.
Deepwater Horizon.
I don't know what that is.
That's the one with...
where the oil leaked into the Gulf for like 6 months because they couldn't figure out how the fuck to plug
it's
the
pretty
leak.
Much, yeah. Mm-hmm. Perfect Storm, yeah.
It's Perfect
Finest
Storm
hours.
Oil Rig.
Those are the three big ones
or
that I really
Inferno.
Have.
Where was your third one? I'm sorry.
Deepwater Horizon.
Oh, right.
Yeah. There's a couple others, but they're smaller, and I don't remember what a couple of them are about.
I'm going to go with The Accountant, which I'm pretty sure.
Is that in September?
I'm
very
October.
Looking forward to that.
I think that's October.
Well, how about then you just say the fall, then, I guess.
Okay, fall, yeah, fall movie.
The Accountant is probably up there, and then, obviously, I think the Harry Potter spinoff is more holiday season.
Well, that's I think fall is like September to
first
weekend of November.
Because the cool thing is we are going to start getting
pre-election.
We are going to start getting the Oscar heavy movies, like the movies that that the studios really have.
Yeah, they're going to start sneaking out.
So we're going to start getting those. I'm very much looking forward to The Accountant. That's a fantastic trailer.
Yeah.
So and the funny thing is it looks like it's. It's going to be one of Affleck's best performances. So, because he hasn't done anything like that. He's always the cool
guy. Sully
comes
out.
Sully comes out. Okay.
Sully looks
Yeah,
I want to see Sully.
It does, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, we already saw that.
Blair Witch.
I'm kind of over, to be honest with you, and it's not because
Clint Eastwood. Blair Witch, I'm really intrigued by.
Clint Eastwood's a super racist and an asshole. But I'm kind of sick of Eastwood. Like his, and I mean, obviously, he's an older man, and when he passes, I'm going to cry a lot. Because I love Clint Eastwood of the past. But as far as filmmaking goes, like, what has he done recently that's...
The last thing that I can remember was, like, Flags of Our Fathers that I really enjoyed.
That was a cool... Letters of Iwo Jima was better.
Letters of Iwo Jima was
better, but that was a cool thing because they were companion pieces.
Yeah.
But what has he done, like, Money... There's not something Money he Curve.
Did
what
not that, that long ago that I liked.
Trouble with the Curve.
I actually did like American Sniper. But
I forgot that was him.
Yeah,
okay, That was a good movie.
What about Jersey Boys?
Apparently,
I still haven't seen that.
Apparently, there's a movie coming out in September that hopefully is straight to DVD called End of a Gun, where justice prevails, starring Steven Seagal.
What the hell? I do want to see Jean-Claude Van Johnson, though.
Here's the thing.
That was a good pilot.
There's going to be a new Steven Seagal movie the very next week that's going to be released straight to DVD, because he puts out a movie each week, pretty much.
Van Damme and Seagal just need to make a movie together. That's the only way they're going to get a movie in the theater. That's the only way. And even that, it'll probably make like $20 million total, but at least it'll get in the theater. It's the only way Seagal can be relevant again. All right, but so I think we're about to wrap it up here.
I don't think we need him to be relevant again. I would agree.
No, we don't. I'm saying if he wants to be.
I know.
We don't want him to be.
One little side funny note, and I like this idea. It was Chris Pratt's idea to cast or to go after Kurt Russell for his dad, which is kind of cool.
That is super cool.
Kurt Russell, I guess when James Gunn called him and asked him if he'd consider the part, Kurt Russell's answer was, "I'm one of the four idiots who haven't seen that movie yet." And he was honest about it. Hopefully he's seen it since. But anyway, wow, we didn't talk about Star Wars at all today. Holy shit.
Wasn't any news.
There wasn't. Yeah. Although there was
that's impressive
cool,
for us.
There's some cool picks that came out from Rogue One if you guys haven't seen them.
I haven't. But,
I will say one thing about Star Wars, and then we're gonna finish right now. Didn't we all say that Donnie Yen's character is not a Force-sensitive person, or he's just not a Jedi?
He is. I think he was Force-sensitive.
Apparently he's Force-sensitive.
He's like Maz Kanata.
He's a Force follower.
But
Force, they've kind of changed the Force rules a little bit, it seems.
You can pick up radio waves and not be a radio.
There you go.
All right. The only reason I said that is because when the release...
Bad analogies by Moorhead. See, bad analogies get a shitty song.
I like that. When they showed the stills, they mentioned Donnie Yen's Force sensitive, such and such, whatever his character's name is. I was like, I thought he wasn't Force sensitive.
No, he's just sensitive when people talk about the Force. He's like, hey man, leave it alone.
The Force is all. Anyway, so we're gonna wrap it up now. And sit next to me on my left.
Oh, Kyle Bound.
And across from him,
Josh Moorhead.
And across from, or next to him, sorry.
I could be across or next or whatever, but I'm Joshua Potter either way.
And I'm Daniel Villalobos. We will see you all next week. Love you.
Yay.
Thanks for listening. If you want more from the nerds, check us out on the innertubes at thewaywenerd.com. And if you haven't already, you should follow us on Facebook and Twitter at The Way We Nerd, and subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Until next week, this is The Way We Nerd.